Hear these words again from the Scriptures, from Romans chapter 3. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. You may be seated. A long, long time ago, way back in the 1990s, it's long for me, I was a grade school aged boy growing up on the west side of Green Bay. During the summers, one of the more common summer pastimes for the neighborhood friends that we had was to go and swim at one of the neighborhood pools. For us, it happened to be, more often than not, either Fisk or Coburn pools. And I remember one trip quite vividly. I must have been in like early grade school, right around the time that my friends were taking swimming lessons. Now note that I said my friends were taking swimming lessons, not me. Well, these newly initiated swimmer friends of mine were going to take on a new challenge that particular day at the pool. They were going to jump off the high dive into the deep end of the pool. I remember that it looked like a ton of fun. I also remember thinking to myself that swimming didn't look all that complicated. You kick your legs, you wave your arms around, and you'll move around in the water. And so, drawn in by the fun, and convinced of my ability to figure out swimming once I got into the water, I climbed the ladder, and I jumped. The first part went as I had imagined. The jump was thrilling. I made my way into the water, and I bobbed back up to the surface. But then, as I attempted to swim back to the wall, I began to figure out a frightening reality. My efforts weren't getting me where I needed to go. I wasn't figuring it out. I was getting tired. I was beginning to sink. As we gather this week and celebrate what God accomplished in bringing the gospel back to the center of the church's message through the work of Martin Luther and others 500 years ago, we do so as people who share the same experience spiritually as I had physically about 25 years ago. We come to life utterly dependent, utterly helpless. And yet, so often, we come convinced that if we just had the chance, we could do this life thing on our own, by ourselves. We see it in little children who throw a fit and push us away when we as parents see them about to step off of a platform or climb a ladder that's beyond their ability. No, I'll do it myself. We see it in slightly older children who resist the correction and the training and the discipline of adults in their lives, like parents and teachers. We see it in young adults who enter into the workforce with fresh ideas, yes, but with an overabundance of confidence, and who bristle when a veteran voice comes along and perhaps reins in their enthusiasm with a little bit of reality and wisdom. We see it in older adults who build a life for themselves based on all sorts of things, status, wealth, relationships, whatever it may be. And then something happens. Either they lose their job or they get ill or tragedy strikes or a moral failure happens and it all comes crashing to the ground and they become bitter. If life is the deep end of the pool, by nature, we are the uninitiated jumpers who take the plunge either because we are convinced we can do it on our own or because we've been taught that we have no other choice. Succeed or be a nobody. Win or your life is meaningless, gain the approval of others, or be a failure. And so, driven by false confidence or by fear of what happens if we don't, we jump. We jump into the deep waters of trying to justify ourselves. And we might get along for a little while, but eventually, God has a way of exposing our weakness, our incapability, and we begin to sink. 500 years ago, Martin Luther experienced firsthand a life of sinking in his attempt to justify himself, to show himself to be right before God and others. He didn't necessarily jump into the treacherous waters because of overconfidence like I did as a child. Rather, he jumped because of fear. He jumped because that was the message the church tended to give at that time in history. The church had stumbled into a theology that had wandered from the truth of the gospel. And so Martin Luther and others who grew up in the church of his day grew up convinced that if they were going to be right with God, if they were going to have life in his name, it was going to be on them to get it right, to perform in such a way to earn that favor. Sure, the church taught that there were certain ways that you could get help from God along the way. For example, the sacraments were seen something like planks from a broken up ship. And if you held on to one of those planks, if you partook of one of the sacraments, that would be help that God would give you to kind of tread the water of your life. But in the end of the day, it was still on you to swim. And Luther became acutely aware that he wasn't a very good swimmer. Spiritually, he sensed he was drowning, his own brokenness and sinfulness dragging him down like an anchor. He was terrified. In our reading from Romans chapter 3, St. Paul makes the case that every single person who has ever lived, except for one, is forced to admit the same reality. For those who know the law of God, the conclusion that we must draw from it is that in and of ourselves, we're sinking. For those who don't know the commandments, but who have a functioning knowledge of the law at work in their conscience, perhaps our friends, our neighbors, those who might not be immediately connected to the church, even they must admit that something isn't right. That in ways, big or small, they're sinking too. St. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. He writes, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin." Let's be clear what these verses are talking about here. Paul's saying that the law, God's perfect standard of love by which we are meant to conduct our lives, is the means by which God calls us to account. And the law is the law. There is no curve. There is no good enough, or at least I'm better than the other guy. They're swimming and they're sinking. There's innocence, and there's guilt. There's eternal life, and there's eternal death. And based on the law, we all show up on the wrong side of this. We're sinking. We're guilty. We're going down. But now. Those are the next two words in the reading from Romans chapter 3, but now. And Paul intends us to receive them as the most amazing good news we could have ever heard. Going back to the story of my ill-contrived experience at the public pool, despite my foolishness, I did not sink. I did not drown. I stand here today. One of the young lifeguards saw me, jumped into the water, and pulled me over to the edge. I was simultaneously grateful and humiliated. I would live to swim another day, but I would do so knowing that I had to be dragged out of the water by a teenage girl, which does nothing for the ego of a young boy. The proud swimmer in me had died, but the experience had given birth to a humbled, realistic young man who would eventually learn what real swimming was all about. I was in over my head, but now I was safe. To a world full of sinking people, to Martin Luther in his day, and to us here in the 21st century, but now is the sound of God jumping in for the rescue. He's not at the lifeguard stand yelling down instructions to us as we flail around in the water. He is not glaring down at us, perturbed because of our dismal efforts. He's diving in. He's diving in to save us. That's what we hear in Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 21. Paul writes, "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus." This, my friends, is good news. It's the greatest news of all. We were sinking in our sin, but now God has rescued us in Christ Jesus. We had destroyed any opportunity we had to be right with God in and of ourselves a long time ago, but now we have been made right with him through the life, through the death, through the resurrection of another. In the words of Martin Luther in 1518, he wrote this: "We live a life of do this, and yet it's never done. But now, God graciously has intervened. He says, believe in this. Believe in the finished work of Jesus for you. And everything's done. We had earned condemnation, but now we are given salvation as a gift. We struggle with that which is contrary to God's will. There are temptations that trip us all up, and we wonder if we will ever have the strength, the power to get past them. But now we've been declared forgiven and free in Jesus. And the power of forgiveness reaches into our lives and gives us the strength to stand up and take up the battle again. We were living a dead-end existence, chasing after things and experiences that have no lasting value. We were living for vacation, for a paycheck, for pleasure, for the approval of others. But now, we have hope. We have a new identity as children of God washed in the waters of baptism. We are citizens of a kingdom that will last forever. We have something to live for, something that lasts. Your family, your friends are living life and making do without the hope that is yours in Jesus. But now, how will you finish it? On this 500th anniversary of the event that sparked the Reformation, we can give thanks to God for a lot of great things that have been handed down to us, while at the same time acknowledging that God handed those things down to us through broken and sinful individuals. Luther is quoted as saying, toward the very end of his life, we are all beggars. This is true. We're all sinners desperate in need of grace. And yet, at the heart of everything we celebrate, at the heart of the message of the Bible, at the heart of the Reformation, at the heart of the message the church continues to proclaim to this very day, is that we have a Savior. Not merely a spiritual guide, not just a coach or a tip giver, not merely an interested divine observer, but a Savior who jumps in and rescues the broken and the losers, and the sinners, and wins the victory for us. On this Reformation Sunday, I'll let Martin Luther have the last word from his hymn, A Mighty Fortress. We just sang it. No strength of ours can match his might. We would be lost, rejected. But now, a champion comes to fight, whom God himself elected. You ask who this may be? The Lord of hosts is he. Christ Jesus, mighty Lord, God's only Son adored. He holds the field victorious. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds today and always in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our King. Amen.